So, well, today is graduate day, and I do have some gifts that I want to give to the graduates, and we'll do that when I'm done speaking for the ones that were able to make it. We just have three, so that's great. At the same time, the title of this message is Now What? But I don't know that that's really the appropriate title, because I want to talk to you a little bit about, you know, life and disappointments, and kind of say some things to the graduates that are here to just say to them, hey, you know, you don't have to be disappointed with a lot of things in life, but sometimes you do have little disappointments. Like, Matt, would you put up the first picture for me, please? Are you able to put up the first picture? Did we take the screens? Oh, I guess there they are there. Yeah, I have a picture that I want to put up. If Matt can get it up. And you won't be able to see it probably out in streaming land, but I'll edit it in later. You're hoping you can get it up. There we go. There we go. That's the first picture I wanted to show you. That is what I was thinking my hair would look like if I grew it out. Right there. That was what I was aiming for right there. That gives you a good idea of what it was that I had in mind. Now there's another picture that Matt's going to put up. And this next picture is more how it was coming out. So I decided that I would cut it. Just decided. Because I was a little disappointed that it was looking more like this than it was like the other one. I'm just saying. That's what it was looking like. So, yeah. So that's why the chrome dome is shining back through now, and it's cut to a decent length. And I got to say that I do love my hair when it's short, because I get in the shower and I don't even use shampoo. I just put soap on the wash rag and just like this. So I was a little disappointed it was looking too much like that. And disappointments do come in life. I just want our graduates to know that. Disappointments do come in life. So turn to Jeremiah 29:11, and I'm going to quote one of my favorite scriptures. And in fact, this is kind of favorite scripture day for those who are graduating, but also for all of us. These are some things that I found when I was a very young man, and I've been doing a lot of this with our youth group lately, going over promises. We gave them little Jesus people pocket promise books, and trying to encourage the young people to find some promises that were outstanding for them that they could say, yeah, that's a promise for me. Because I found a lot of promises when I was a young man, and they meant a lot to me. So Jeremiah 29:11, we've actually quoted this a couple of times, especially in the last year when everything was going haywire with COVID and everything else. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." So thinking about the graduates, I was thinking back to when I graduated from high school, and it seems like just a few minutes ago. How many of you older family members here know it? Just wait a minute. I just graduated myself, right? Sometimes you just feel like that. You just feel like it can't have gone by this quick, and things just keep going by very quick. I remember the summer before my senior year, and I think I've shared this before. I know I've told the youth this. I was at Frank Dawson's house. And Frank Dawson was a guy who was accommodatingly helping the Jesus people of the day. His son was one of the Jesus people and played guitar and led, you know, singing for us. And we would gather at Frank's house. I remember being there, and there was like, you know, 100 kids crammed into his living room. It was nuts. We were on top of each other. It was crazy. People were setting up the stairs, going up into the upstairs and all over. And some people were still out on the edge of the porch. And we were just all there, and we were singing and worshiping the Lord and sharing stuff that the Lord was putting on our hearts. And afterwards, people wandered off, and I stayed a little extra long. I don't remember why in particular, and I'm sitting there, and Frank's sitting in a chair, and he says, "So I understand you are getting ready to go into your senior year. Are you looking forward to it?" I says, "I'm just looking forward to getting it over with." And he goes, "Why?" And I said, "Well, you know, I get the senior year over with, and then I can go out and live my life and do what I want to do." And he laughed so hard, so hard. He's like, "Who told you that? What do you mean?" He says, "You don't get to do what you want to do." He says, "When you have more time to do what you want to do right now, the summer before your senior year, this is the best summer of your life. You'll get to do more stuff that you want to do this summer than you'll ever get to do after you graduate, because after you graduate, you're going to get a job. And you're going to have people tell you what to do. And then you're going to get a wife. And someone's going to tell you what to do. And then you're going to get children, and they're going to tell you what to do. You're going to have stuff you have to do. And the more responsibility you take on, the more you're going to have to do, son. He says, you're freer now than you'll ever be. And I went, oh, dang, he's right. So that was I had the summer before my senior year was my Rumspreg. How many know what that is? that's a Amish thing where they go crazy and just go out. And I didn't go crazy. But, you know, it's kind of funny to think about. I don't say that to discourage, and he didn't say that to discourage me when he said it. But, you know, the graduates here are entering into another phase of life, and they're going to take on greater responsibilities, and they're going to have to take on more responsibility for themselves and more responsibility for how they behave with people around them, and all those things start to change, and it really is a different time. I read that verse from the NIV, the New International Version. Let me read it again. Some of you may have noticed it when you read along with me if you were using the King James Version or the New King James Version. It says in the NKJV, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." I like the word plans there, but I also like the word thoughts. And I want you to know, especially you two that are here that are graduating from high school, God's thinking about you. He's thinking about you. He really is. He has thoughts about you. And he thinks about you every day, and he's been thinking about you since before you were born. And this is true of all of us. Psalm 139, verse 13 says, "You alone created my inner being. You knitted me together inside my mother. I will give thanks to you because I have been so amazingly and miraculously made." You think of yourself as a miracle? You know what? If you can't think of yourself as a miracle, practice on someone in your family first. In fact, that might be easy for some of you. It's a miracle you even lived. But, you know, but what I mean is, think of them as a miracle, because every one of you is a miracle. You were miraculously made. I love that. "Of this, my soul is fully aware." That's what the psalmist said. I don't know that I keep aware of that as much as I should, that I'm a miracle. It's a miracle. And a lot of you look at me and go, yeah, it is a miracle you're still here. I've ridden with you in a car. It's a miracle you're still alive. You know, there could be people thinking that kind of stuff, and I wouldn't blame them. "My bones were not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, when I was being skillfully woven in an underground workshop. Your eyes saw me when I was still an unborn child. Every day of my life was recorded in your book before one of them has taken place. How precious are your thoughts concerning me." This is the God's Word version, but I liked how that one phrase said it right there. "How precious are your thoughts concerning me?" I found it a couple of versions. It just says, "How precious are your thoughts, O Lord, to me?" It's not just God's thoughts to me being precious. It's God's thoughts of me that are precious. God thinks of me. And it's contextually correct. "How vast in number they are." God's thoughts about each one of us in this room are vast in number, so much so that he says, "If I try to count them, there would be more of them than there are grains of sand." Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot. That's how many thoughts God has of you. I love that. And so this is one of my favorite passages. I remember Mark spoke out of here one time. It's awesome to think about what this means to each of us. And God has as many plans as he has thoughts. See, when God has thoughts, those thoughts turn into plans. God doesn't just think, doofus. He's thinking of something to do to keep me from being a doofus. That's what he's doing. He's got thoughts. He's got thoughts about me. And he's got plans for me. I heard a pastor say a while back, God doesn't have a plan for your life. He has plans for your life. And I am a perfect example of that, because I'm pretty sure that some of the plans that God had for my life, I kind of got in the way of God's plans for my life. And as a result, God had plans, because plan wasn't going to happen, because I wasn't going to do plan. I was going to do plans. Okay, Tim's a little out in left field here. Let's bring him back in. I got a plan for that. Oh, now he's in right field. Bring him back over here. I got a plan. God's got plans, because God knew everything wouldn't go as planned. And how many of you have stuff in your life that doesn't go as planned? And then you're like disappointed, right? That's where I'm going with this. A lot of times what's going on when we're disappointed is our expectations are here, and what God wants to do is someplace over here, and his plan's better than our plan, but we're trying to make this plan work, and he's trying to get us on a plan that will work because this one won't, and he knows it ahead of time. And then we get disappointed when things don't work out the way we had planned. So as a young man, another thing that happened to me was there was this artist named Phil Keaggy. Some of you remember Phil Keaggy, amazing guitar player. He's still an amazing guitar player. I was looking at some of his stuff recently. I showed some of it to Carson. The guy is just phenomenal. And he wrote a song to a poem that I've read to you before, but I'm going to read it again for the graduates today. Disappointment, his appointment. Change one letter, then I see that the thwarting of my purpose is God's better choice for me. His appointment must be blessing, though it may come in disguise, for the end from the beginning open to his vision lies. Disappointment, his appointment. Whose? The Lord's, who knows me best, understands and knows me fully, who my faith and love would test. For like loving earthly parent, he rejoices when he knows that his child accepts unquestioned all that from his wisdom flows. Disappointment, his appointment. No good thing will he withhold. From denials off we gather, treasures of his love untold. Well, he knows each broken purpose leads to fuller, deeper trust. And the end of all his dealings proves our God is wise and just. Disappointment, his appointment. Lord, I take it then as such, like clay in hands of the potter, yielding wholly to his touch. My life's plan is all his molding, not one single choice be mine. Let me answer on repining. Father, not my will, but thine. You may wonder why I'm a little emotional at that, but it's just something that has spoken to me. For 50 years, this has spoken to me. It's 50 years ago when I first heard about it as a newly born-again Christian. And I've let this be part of my life for so long. And it's a big deal. I didn't make copies of it to give to the graduates, but you can look up Edith Lillian Young, and you can find this poem where you would probably keep it, which would be on your phone. And you know, I would not at all discourage you. In fact, I would encourage you. You can read it like once in a while. This is a great poem to have in your hip pocket when everything seems like it's going haywire. And Phil Keaggy's version of this, where he sings it, is out there on YouTube. You can listen to it. And it's amazing because it just speaks so much, because there's been so many things in my life, and I'm sure in the lives of everyone in here, that have not gone the way you expected them to go, but then somehow God in his goodness steps in and makes my mess a lot less. Sometimes even makes my mess into a mission. The other day I was talking to someone on the phone, not someone from this congregation, and they said, well, this was not the best day. And I immediately thought to myself, wow, this is the day that the Lord has made, but somehow it wasn't God's best. How many of you think God ever makes a day that's not his best? I know I've talked about this, but it hit me just a little bit different than it's ever hit me before. This is the best day that God could have made. It's an amazing day. And tomorrow is going to be another best day ever. I mean, it's just going to be another one of God's best days, because all of God's days that God makes are best. Just because we don't get the best out of it doesn't mean it wasn't a good day. And sometimes we need to just think about what it is that we're focused on. The reason that this person wasn't having the best day is because they had expectations for the day and their expectations weren't met. And as a result, they were disappointed. And we need to remember, though, sometimes, as the poem says, our disappointment is his appointment. God's up to something. I need to look around and go, wait a minute. What am I missing? God must have something in all of this for me, and I just don't see it. Just this week, I heard two testimonies from one man, a pastor in our town, about some stuff that was happening at his church. Some of you may be aware of this. Most of us probably aren't. But they're very aware at First Church of God that they've redone their sanctuary. They redid all the pews and added chairs, so they have a mixture of pews and chairs. All the lighting, rebuilt the platform. They have this big thing up the front of the church. Some of you have been there. It used to be this brown, clunky, junky, lumpy, big stone. Took it all down. They took it all down and they put up this really beautiful looking cut stuff, stone, matches the new colors, which are grays and subtle, you know, kind of charcoals, and the pews are this charcoaly looking material, and that new front just looks so good with the cross on it. And I was talking to him about it, and he was talking to all of us really, and he said, you know, we had this stuff ordered from one of the local establishments here in town, one of the, you know, big box lumber stores. Try not to name them. But it's true of all of them right now. They had some stuff ordered to put on the front, and it got back ordered. And then it got back ordered again. And they got contractors waiting on it, and it gets back ordered, and then they're told, when are you gonna get it? We don't know. Maybe, and they were supposed to put it in the 1st of March, and at that point they were like, maybe by the middle of April. And they're like, what are we going to do? So they talked to the contractor, and the contractor says, well, he said, there's another, or, you know, one of these more locally owned stores down in such and such a little town, and if you go down there, I work with them, and I think they got some stuff you might like. Why don't you go down and look? So they went down and looked, and they found something that was even better looking than what they had originally planned. And they went from disappointment to his appointment. And they got it really looks good. I was very impressed. And then he said, we had another one of those. He didn't know I was preaching this. We had another one of those. Rick said, when our pews came in, they've got this, like, it's not a, I wouldn't call it a pattern, but it looks like lines, kind of, the material runs this way. Let's just put it that way. So the pew and the back of the pew runs this way. You can kind of see the thread lines through it and how it works. And he says, then the chairs came in, and they were running this way and this way on the seats, this way and this way. And he says, we put them in there, didn't think about it at first, put them in, stood back and looked at them, went, oh, no. How did that happen? So then they started checking into it. Somebody flubbed up, but it was on the side of the people who made them, not on their side. So the people who made them said, well, how do we want to do this? And here's where it became his appointment. Rick said they had been wanting to buy a bunch of chairs for another part of their building, maybe their youth building. I don't remember where he said exactly, but they wanted another set of chairs. And the chairs are really comfortable. And they should be at $71 a piece. Yeah. And they had to buy a lot of chairs. Just times that time 100, you got it right there, don't you? Woohoo! Money. So, you know, they wanted some chairs. And so the place that they did said, well, I'll tell you what, we can either replace them and try to sell them and get some of our money back, or we can make you some new ones like you want for $15 a chair. That's a deal. Disappointment, his appointment. Change one letter, then I see that the thwarting of my purpose is God's better plan for my church building. Anybody got a testimony like that? I'll bet you you've got some if you had time to think about it. I know I've got them. There have been so many times when something that I wanted to do or somewhere that I wanted to go or something that I wanted to have happen or someone that I thought I wanted to marry. I've joked about that a few times, but it's true. I would have married the wrong girl. I'd have been good to her. I don't know if she'd have been good to me. But she couldn't beat the one that God had for me. I got to marry the two-time queen. She's basketball queen and FFA queen. Future Farmers of America. Yeehaw! Come on now. That's what you want. You want yourself farm girl, boys. I'm just saying. That's just saying. From experience. Just telling you. I'd love to take the time, actually, to invite some of you up, in fact, but, you know, we probably don't want to take that much time to do testimonies, but I bet you you've got them. I bet you you've got them. Where you were planning something and God had a better plan. Isn't it great when God steps in with his better plan? It really is. And I look back on some of those things and think, man, I would have missed so much if I hadn't let God do what God wanted to do. He's way smarter than me. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, we've noticed he's way smarter than you, yeah. But everybody thought it, yeah. Nobody said it out loud, but everybody thought it.
I just, for the sake of the graduates then, and for the sake of us all, I just want to say that sometimes we're going to experience disappointments, and things aren't going to go the way we think they are supposed to go or the way we plan for them to go. But God has not forgotten us. Psalm 37, verse 23, another one of those verses that just really stood out to me as a young man. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And it's, what's funny is if you look this up in certain versions, you realize the word good there is implied, so they added it, but it's in italics because it's not actually in the actual verbiage of the Hebrew that this is written in. The steps of a man are ordered by the Lord. I believe God has steps for every single one of us and every single person who's walking the earth right now. He has steps for them to follow. He has a step-by-step, if you will, plan for us. And he has step-by-step plans when we get off step or out of step with his plans to bring us back into his plans if we'll let him. He's constantly working toward that. How far do you think the average human walks in a lifetime, by the way? Just a little fun fact. According to snowbrains.com, I have no idea. Sounds like those people got snow brains. The average moderately active person takes around 7,500 steps per day. If you maintain that daily average and live until you're 80 years of age, you will have walked 216,262,500 steps. Cord's already done that with running, I think, probably in his life. More than likely.
By the way, for the average person, that's 180,131 miles. A lot of walking. That's a lot of moving. And yeah, some of you were involved in marching band or other things when you were kids. You ran track, you ran cross country, you did things in band. I ran laps, that's what I did, because I would do stupid. Yeah, got Matt going in the back. He says, yep, did that. So I'm probably, you know, over some of those numbers. But the thing is, God's trying to tell us he wants to be with you every step of the way. He wants to be with us every step of the way. And by the way, you know, our graduates are graduating from high school, but they're moving on to other things. And, you know, my life, everybody's life in this room, we're all going to hit these different milestones. We're all going to hit these different places where stuff's going to change, where things are going to change. You know, my parents hit a phase where they had to move up here to be with us. And then they hit this phase where we moved them into another place. You know, they lived in the same house for 53 years. And you go through these things. And sometimes it's like, I hate to give up my place. I hate to give up this. I hate to give up that. I hate to go through this. I hate to go through that. Well, don't hate it. It's a phase. And sometimes God's got something else for you. And it's a new time. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Again, step by step along the path, God has a plan. And I noticed it, and he will direct your paths, because he knows. How many of you have ever been able to be on more than one path at a time? Okay, so he's not talking about, you know, where you start walking down two paths at the same time. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I believe that you're going to get on the wrong path sometimes. Have done it. Guilty. Messed up. Going down the wrong one. A little narrow path over here. Big wide road over here. Ah, this looks good. Yeah. And I love that God is not a my way or the highway kind of a God where, you know, if you didn't walk on my path, sucks to be you. Sorry. You're just, whatever. You're gone now. Because nobody'd make it if he did that. I'm just being honest. He wants to bless our ways. Even when some of our ways aren't even the best, he'll try to bless them and bring us back into his ways. Is this making sense to you? This is a yes right here. You can do that. Encourage me. So he wants us just to acknowledge him in everything that we're doing. And as long as we acknowledge him in everything we're doing, that puts us in a place where his ways become our ways. Or our ways get redeemed into his ways. I don't know exactly how it works. I'm not going to talk like I got this all figured out. By the time I get it figured out, he'll be like, you're done. Take me home. That's why I'm going to live to be 180, because it's going to take at least that long with me. I know, I keep saying that. If we trust him, though, he can take those disappointments and turn them around for our good and his glory. Isn't that amazing? How God can make the thing that didn't work the way we thought it was going to work into something that he uses to not only turn into something good for us, but to bring his name glory, to show how great he is. And so we need to learn to trust him in the tough times. And sometimes the tough times are exactly what we need. Boy, this is the hard part. But it's true. Sometimes the tough times are exactly what we need. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into his grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but also
we also glory in tribulations. How many of you are signing up for that? Send me some tribulations so I can glory. Woo-hoo-hoo. Can't wait. Bring them on. Yeah. Knowing that, let me start again with verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now hope that does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. If we expect and even glory in the things that are not easy, then we become people who are strong enough to persevere. You got that? You know, I remember being in the marching band and going through some stuff and having some tough days. And later, what do you say about those tough days?
Yeah, we're tough. That's right.
There was some glory in that, you know. When you run and 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 run like people do in cross country, and then you hit that new time or you do that new thing, you went through something to do that. It wasn't easy. And all of us have those kind of things, whether we were involved in sports or anything else. We go through this stuff, and it's hard sometimes. But when we break through to the other side of something that was hard, we've developed in ourselves something the Bible calls perseverance. And when we learn to persevere, and by the way, that perseverance is that's that stick-to-itiveness, and that's that bearing up under, and that's working through something. That perseverance, when we do that, then we grow in character. There are people who are characters, and there are people who have character. They're not always the same. The difference is one is the real deal and the other is a pretender. See, God wants to turn you into the real deal. A person of character is the real deal. That's what is going to happen to these young people. They're going to grow into who God wants them to be, and they're going to be the real deal. Because there are a whole lot of people that are just whatever. They're pretenders. They're not the real deal. And people who are the real deal, according to this scripture, are the ones who carry hope. And we all know that. When you see somebody who goes through something and perseveres in it, and they become the real deal, then you look at them and they give hope to everybody around them. And they carry hope in them. And they are people of hope. And that hope just goes on and on and on. And that hope, according to the scripture that I just read, does not disappoint. The way to overcome disappointment is tribulation with perseverance and character that forms hope inside of you, and then you become that person who, yeah, everything's going haywire, but somehow I know that I know that I know that God's in the middle of it and it's going to be okay. Somehow I know God's going to get me through this. Somehow I know. And not only do I know it, but I radiate it to the people around me and they start to know it. And when you don't have hope, God's going to love you and he's going to send you what you need to get hope. It's this little cycle right here. Going through some tribulation right now? Woo! Yes! God started another cycle for you. He loves you. You're going through tribulation so that you can start to get some perseverance in a new area. Because you don't have any perseverance in this area right now. And that's going to develop character, and you're going to be somebody that people are going to look at and go, wow. And that's how much God loves you. And that's why he has a lot of paths. Because he'll send me that tribulation. I'll be like, ha, missed me. You know, because I don't want that tribulation. But God's like, no, yeah, really. Oh, mud puddle. Daggone it. Jumped right into that, didn't I? Out of the frying pan and into the fire. Anybody besides me? Yes, sir.
So people who are the real deal are the carriers of hope. I've actually preached a message about that. Contagious hope, a carrier of hope, like you're a disease running around, making it hard for all the doubt and fear. And that's what I want you to be. That's what God wants you to be. And that's what keeps some people positive while some other people are just negative. Hello. I don't want to put you down for your negativity, but if you hear yourself being negative, slap yourself. Start your own tribulation right here. Stupid. Don't be that way. And hope does not disappoint. That's the thing. If we can get ourselves into that place where we hope, in spite of everything that we see and everything that's going on around us, if we can get ourselves in that place where we are full of hope, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. You know what my problem is? I got too much hope. I've had people tell me that. Why are you smiling? What's that silly grin on your face? How come you're happy all the time? I have too much hope. I'm just too positive. I haven't been able to enjoy a good pity party for years and years. Ruining every pity party I'm invited to, too. I do. Somebody starts to have a pity party in front of me, and I just jump right in that. I don't like pity parties. Woe isn't me. This is not who God created me to be, and it's not who God created you to be. So one last verse for our graduates and for this message. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Some of you know this one already. This was an early, early one in my early experience in Christ. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of them that love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We know. I heard, I think I've mentioned this before, Dr. Ron Cottle was his name. And he was 35 years ago when I was in Auburn. He was there and he got up and he preached on this verse. Actually, he pulled out the Greek and he preached on five Greek words for 2 hours. And I didn't even realize it was going by that fast. It was amazing. And he said at that meeting, because I had it memorized in the King James Version, and you know that it doesn't say in all things, it says all things work to the good. All things work to the good. He said, no, it doesn't actually say all things work to the good. In all things, God works to the good. It just so happens the NIV version quotes it that way. In all things, God works to the good. God is not behind that evil thing that's happening. But in the midst of that evil thing that's happening, he can work to our good. He's always there. He's always working to my good. He's always working to your good. He never gives up. And I've lived this over and over. I just keep loving God. And he just keeps working through everything and causing everything to be used for my good. And every time I'm tempted to give in to disappointment, then I remember all the times that he's turned things around for me, turned things around for my kids, turned things around for my family members, turned things around for my Bethel family members. I can remember all the times he's turned things around. And when I see him turn things around, it's just so good. God's plan is so much better than my plan. And so many times I've been in the middle of a situation and someone comes along and they're struggling. And I try not to have a bad attitude about it. I mentioned ruining somebody's pity party. I don't want to make them feel condemned. But I try to find a way to encourage them. And what's funny is I can be in the middle of
being tempted to have a pity party or be struggling with something, and someone comes along and they're struggling with something, and I start to tell them about the goodness of God and how God's turned things around and how God loves them and how he's working for their good, and I start telling them that, and they maybe leave, and I'm not sure I'm successful with them, but boy, did I do a good job on me. You ever had that happen? Where, yeah, you were talking to them, but it ended up, it hit me right here. And I come out of that, and all of a sudden, whatever lack of hope that I had in that moment's been banished, and God's restored me, and I'm ready to go for it. I'm ready to go for it. It's crazy how that can happen, and it's crazy good when it happens. So if I could give you anything today, if I could give our graduates anything today, it would be the ability to stay filled with hope and have the vision to see that God is working through our disappointments to create divine appointments. Our disappointments can be turned into divine appointments where God shows up. And it's amazing when that happens. I want to pray over you and pray over anybody who might stumble across this message, either live this morning, if you're watching live, God bless you, we're glad you're with us, or maybe anybody who might stumble over this message later as a podcast or on YouTube. I want to pray over you that God will just start to cement this very concept inside of you. So if you will, put your hand on your heart. Father God, I know already that many who have heard this word today know exactly what I'm talking about. And for them, this was just confirmation and just strength to remind them. I know some will be watching this, and this will be a whole new concept, completely foreign to them, and they won't know anything about it. But maybe for the first time in their lives, they'll realize something that they've been missing. And Lord, whatever place we are in between those two places, whether this is new to us or whether we've known this but just needed the reminding, God, I pray wherever we are that we'll grow in this, because there's no end. There's always more of this. There's always more for us to become more aware of how good you are and more aware of your goodness to us. So we just pray for each and every person here, myself especially, Lord, that we would just see this, we would just love you more, we would just recognize your goodness every day, and we would acknowledge you in all of our ways. And this we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.